earth and sky.
These GTL fluids of transportation fuels have different, better burning properties in car engines, and that's why they make a difference, and we can measure that in scientific terms.
You're listening to internationally recognized chemist Carl Mesters, and this is Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Mesters is chief scientist for chemistry and catalysis for Shell. Speaking with us from his office in the Netherlands, he explained to Earth Skies' Jorge Salazar about creating synthetic fuels from natural gas, known as gas-to-liquids technology.
Dr. Mesters, welcome to Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
So we're here to talk about gas-to-liquid technology, or GTL. What is that?
Gas-to-liquids, or what GTL stands for, is a process where we take natural gas and convert that into liquids, and that those liquids are transportation fuels, basically. Shell started in around 1973, as others did, with trying to convert coal into transportation liquids. We thought that the coal-to-liquids process, as we were investigated, say, in the late 70s, typically produced a fuel, a transportation fuel, that looked like gasoline. We foresaw in early 80s that there would be a growing market for diesel-fueled cars compared to gasoline-fueled cars. We changed not from coal as a supply, but natural gas as a supply. It was considered also to be somewhat easier to do. Now, what is different is that because you have a completely different chemistry, you make something, molecules that might fit, say, in the GTL process, the existing diesel engines, but since the molecules are, I would say, completely different, the way they behave in a diesel engine are also completely different. I mean, some people call GTL liquid for a diesel car simply a kind of diesel, but I call it a completely different kind of liquid that is also suitable and has very neat advantages in a diesel engine. And a few of them are related to specific technicalities for a diesel engine, as we have a CTA number and boiling point and so forth. But another important thing is the sulfur content. Yeah, the sulfur content in this gas to liquid product, those liquids, is virtually zero. So if there's no sulfur or almost virtually zero sulfur in your liquid, there can't be any sulfur emissions from that liquid. Yeah. Also, the polyaromatic level in the fuel is virtually zero, I should say, extremely low compared to the diesel that you produce from a crude oil. And that gives the fuel a much cleaner burning, less particulate matter. So you can imagine that in areas where the cleanliness of the fuel, the environmental issues are a concern, that this product has indeed, because of these properties, has more value. And that is what we are currently have been testing already for a long time and still continue to test in several kind of fleet tests.
We understand that there are some pilot projects of gas to liquid fuels in city cabs and trucks. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, there's a couple of very interesting trials going on. One of the nicest, I thought, is because it's very close to my hometown in the Netherlands. It's a ferry between the Dutch mainland, although that's not that big, and one of its islands. And there's a ferry going back and forth on this fuel simply to reduce emissions. That's a local thing in the Netherlands. But there is also a big bus trial going on in China. We have had some fleet tests with Volkswagen in Germany. I know for that. And apparently the Department of Transport in the U.S. has used the fuel, tested the Shell GTL fuel in the transport of Yosemite water. And I thought that was a very appropriate trial to see what emissions reduction can be achieved.
Tell us a little bit about what Shell is doing to develop GTL. We understand that that Shell is building a gas-to-liquids plant in Qatar, which has been in development for more than 30 years. Tell us more about that.
We are indeed building a plant in Qatar at this moment, but we have already a plant in operation, a smaller size, but in operation since 1993 in Malaysia. And that has been in operation for about 15 years, basically, that has developed our knowledge about how to, first of all, run the process, and produce the product, that's the second part, and get the product properties and get them into the market, to get an interest in, of the market into these properties of the fuel, to allow for a bigger plant to be built. It doesn't make sense to build a big plant if you don't have an outlet for it. Yeah, and secondly, it doesn't make sense to build a big plant if you don't know how to operate it. So we have 15 years operations experience in a relatively smaller plant. And we have the product. We know indeed after all this time what it does and what it does not and what it can bring to it and what the advantages are.
I'd like to follow up on the output of these two plants. The one in Malaysia that you've described as being in operation for 15 years now, and the one that's planned in Qatar, that is going to be 10 times that size. What sort of outputs are we talking about here?
From the top of my head, the plant in Malaysia has an output today of about 14,000 barrels per day. And the plant under construction in Qatar will be 140,000 barrels. So that's about the factor of 10 that you mentioned indeed. And that is in part by what we do is, it is not simply building everything 10 times as big. There is process intensification going on. But indeed, there is also an area of multiplication involved in that. So some parts can be done bigger, more intense, more of it in the same type of apparatus. And some of it is simply multiplying. You can do 10 times as much by having 10 times as much things to do it with. So it's a combination of the both. And the combination gives us the confidence that we are not trying something utterly new, because you can imagine if you have a small car and you have to build a car 10 times as big, there is a lot of risk with that involved. We have a lot of this process, I think, de-risked by multiplication.
Well, Dr. Messers, thank you very much for taking this time out. I really appreciate it. What is the most important thing that you would like the public to know about gas-to-liquid technologies?
What I would like the public to know about gas-to-liquid technology is that it produces a superior liquid with respect to the properties in transportation cars, so to say, with respect to the environment. That it's a technological challenge to improve that process. That it is a very well rewarding job to be in that environment within Shell of helping to bring this technology further. That's a very challenging but also rewarding job.
That was Carl Mesters, the Shell Group's chief scientist for chemistry and catalysis on fuels made using gas-to-liquids technologies. Our thanks today to Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird, and you're listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.